Hi, it's One United Bank, the nation's largest Black-owned bank. Join our Bank Black World of Benefits when you open a Black Wall Street checking account and enroll in direct deposit. You can get paid up to 2 days early. Not only that, you can apply for cash, please, a short-term loan. And the best part? There's no credit check. Join us at oneunited.com today.
One United Bank.
Hi, I'm Terry Williams, president of One United Bank. We're proud to announce our new Empowerment Network with more surcharge-free ATMs than any other bank in the country. Over 100,000, including neighborhood retailers and Chase and Citibank branches. The nation's largest Black bank has the nation's largest ATM network. We keep breaking records to empower you. So join me at oneunited.com today.
One United Bank.
The only podcast coming through your beat stereo is Cherry's World, so let's go around like a merry-go. Plug your phone in, make sure it got a full battery. Download it Wednesday, listen to it Saturday. She cover all topics, whatever you after. She got ball players, authors, doctors, actors, rappers, singers, entrepreneurs, divas, leaders. Androids or Apple, turn up your speakers. Trying to shoot my shot like the vaccine. Whether it's Cherry or Maxine, whether the podcast or acting, she that queen. PYT, you know what that mean. Saw you on TV and touch the screen. Touch on you, I plead Lucy's got a crush on you. It'll mean the world to get a blush from you. Teaspoon to me, leave you sleep like Robitussin do.
The Cherry's World Podcast. It is your girl, Cherry Johnson. It is National Breast Cancer Aware Month, and I happen to have one of my favorite people in the house. Her name is Shawn Marquez, and my life got turned upside down when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. What up, homegirl?
Hey, sis.
How you doing, baby?
I'm okay. How are you? I miss your face.
I miss your face too. So look, you guys might see her and be like, hey, she looks familiar. That's because she's an actress. But we're not here to talk about like celebrity today. We're here to talk about sisterhood. We're here to talk about breast cancer. We are here to talk about relationship, love, life, and life after. Ringing that bell, baby. So can you walk us through, I'm just going to hit you with it. Can you walk us through your story or your journey? It was a whole, I don't know about you, but for me, it was a whole journey.
It was definitely an interesting journey, and thank you for being there through that process, because funny enough, people actually shy away from you. Like, I had people shy away from me when I was diagnosed. So basically, I want to say October 2015, I was going to my regular gyno checkup, all that stuff. And like, they always tell me, in my primary care doctor at the time, they're like, oh, you're too young to get checked for breast cancer. And I'm like, okay, but because I'm like paranoid sometimes, and I had cystic breasts, I would feel things sometimes. I was like, I just would always like check. Plus my aunt had breast cancer, even though it's not related. It just was always in my head. So then I went to doctors that 2015, and I like something said to just push it, just say something, like, because I have fibroids. I was like, well, you can't do a mammogram, but can you do a sonogram for, you know, maybe my breast or something, because I just really want to just check. I don't even know why, I just really want to check. Long story, less long, fast forward, they were like, oh, from the sonogram, they were like, oh yeah, you should probably go get a mammogram. I'm like, what?
Wait a minute. So, how did you know to be your own advocate and ask for a sonogram?
I think it just comes from me having to advocate myself for a lot of years when it comes to health, being diagnosed with the wrong stuff or being told the wrong things, just because they could look at me and see my size and think one thing and it's not. And something in my spirit that particular year, I've asked every year leading up to 2015, but something that particular year was like, nah, like just something to push it. So I just was like, if I have fibroids and no one knew what it was, had anxiety, no one knew what it was, until I kept pushing to get more tests. So I said, let me do that with this case. Even if it's nothing, I would like to just have someone look at my breast. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I got results after doing testing and biopsy and all that. I got results February 2016 that I was stage one breast cancer.
Stage one. So it was caught early, and it was caught early.
Before. It was caught early.
Amen. And right. When you said you have cystic breasts, for women who don't have cystic breasts, what does that mean? What does it feel like?
Cystic breast is non-cancerous, but it's like lumpiness, like around your period time, you may feel the tenderness in your breasts. You may feel, you know, the soreness and the achiness. And then sometimes some women just get more lumpier. They call those cysts. Like I have cysts and I have fibroids and they're like kind of like cysts. So like they can just, your body changes around that time of the month. So that's kind of like what it was explained to me, the cystic breasts were. But it was supposed to be non-cancerous. I still believe that wasn't the issue, because that wasn't what they found with the biopsy. The cyst part was completely different. Are you checking right now?
Yes, you got me over here feeling, because it's that time of the month.
When you check, you have to put your arm up, though.
Okay.
Put your arm up. You start under, go, and then you feel around like that. And then up to the bone.
What am I feeling for? Because I don't even think I know.
Lumps. Anything abnormal, anything lumpy. You go around, they say massage it, go around to, and then, yeah. And then you do it. They recommend to do it in the shower. Not exactly know why. But yes, you raise your arm up, you start from the under here, and you go under the boob, you go around, and then you're feeling, and then you go on top. Technically, your gyno is supposed to, not supposed to, I guess, but they also do it. I don't know if you've had that experience.
Yes, he does it.
They also, they also do it as well. But I've always had them do it to me. So like, oh, it's just cysts, it's just cysts. So 2016, when they, after the biopsy and everything else, and the only reason I got the biopsy is because I got the sonogram, and on the sonogram, didn't look right. So now it was like, oops, we have to send her for a mammogram. I was 35 at the time. You're not supposed to get a mammogram till you're 40.
Right.
And every time I say this far, I get emotional, because it's like, 40, I have a whole 5-year-old right now. I wouldn't have had. I just always think about, when I say this part of my story, that part of my story always gets me, because it's like, they wanted me to wait till 40. Now, what if I would have waited till 40? Like, none of this will probably be a thing right now, my life that I'm living now. But so
it is, because it's supposed to be.
It is because it's supposed to be. So, yeah, so 2016, once they found out, I decided to get a new doctor. I was like, oh, no, let me get a second and third opinion, because even with finding that I had breast cancer, they was like, oh, we want to put you on a certain medication that would have me not being able to have a child for 5 years and this and that. And I'm like, wait a minute, but that's technically only if the cancer spreads. But I'm like, wait, we don't know if it spreads yet. Y'all jumping the gun, want me to freeze my eggs? There's a whole lot going on, slow down. So I went to get a second and third opinion. And once I got to a third opinion, I felt comfortable with their testing process and what they said could happen. They said, look, if it spreads after your surgery, then you have to do chemo and all that other stuff. And you might have to freeze your eggs and all that. But for me, I had a double mastectomy June 2016, a month before I was going to get married. So that was something, because I got my dress and all that. And I'm like, no boobs. But that's another part of the story for later.
So I want you to slow down, though, because I think it's very important for everybody to understand. No, because we don't have a lot of time. I think it's important for people to understand, you got your diagnosis as you were planning your wedding.
Yes, literally as I was planning my wedding. I got this diagnosis. So it was like, it was a lot. And then, unfortunately, the day before my surgery, my two bonus kids were coming up for the wedding. And my surgery was scheduled like June 9th. And so my two bonus kids were coming up for the wedding. And like a week later, their mom passed away. And so with that, I had surgery the next day. So I'm like, what in the world? I've never had a surgery in my life. I've never had nothing like this go on. No cancer in my family. Besides my aunt, but they said it was not related. So I was like, what is that? So it was a lot of emotions. And then I'm to get married the next month. Yes. It was a very 2016 was a roller coaster for
her. Bonus kids came to visit. They were gonna stay for the wedding. Their mom went home and had an accident and passed away. The very next day, you were scheduled to have breast surgery.
Yes, double mastectomy. Yeah. I did it.
Yeah, you did it. And she got married and she did everything that was scheduled. I thought she was insane. I kept saying, just pause everything. She's like, no, she's like, everything is going to be fine. Everything is scheduled. And we're just going to go through it. And life happens. You took the most beautiful approach. You told me.
Oh, God, you don't get me there too, girl.
I'm sorry. But I remember you told me, you said, don't worry. This ain't nothing going to happen to me because I got shit to do.
I went into the operating room like that because I was like, oh, now I have to care for two kids that just lost their mom. So how would it look if I now die? So I'm like, Lord, you got to make me through the surgery. I got to get through the surgery. I got to come back to these kids. They were 12 and 13. And thank God one just celebrated her 21st birthday and the other one's about to celebrate his 20th birthday. So,
and they're in college. And
they're both in college. They're honor students. They are amazing. It was a time at that point, but I feel like we all grew together. But yeah, it was. Yeah, that was a moment. It was
a new husband. All of a sudden, you're an insta mom.
Insta mom, literally. And I don't know. And mind you, at that time, I'm still auditioning. I'm still going on shoots and sets and doing this and that. And I'm like, wait, what?
And okay. You handled it with so much grace. Like, I give it to you, baby, because you are resilient. I'll be crying like a baby. I'll be like, hold up.
I think at the time, because what happened, fast forward, this is what I do want to tell other women.
Yeah.
At the time, I was so, I got to be there for these two kids. I got to do this. I got to be, da, 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 and I got to heal. I got to do this. It's July at this point. School's in 2 months. I don't know nothing. I mean, I live in New York, but I didn't know much about how to put kids in school and whatnot. So I'm like, so I think my brain was just on go. They need clothes. They need sneakers. They need this. They need that. And what happened to me, I don't want to say unfortunately, because it kind of, it's good. I had to go to get therapy because I literally woke up one day, like maybe about 2 or 3 years later, like, oh snap, I had breast cancer. It's like the dust was calming down.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap, I had breast. I didn't have a chance to really think. I was going through the motions, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't have time to really react. And then I had a breakdown. Oh my God. 2, 3 years later, I had a breakdown. It was a whole thing. It was a mess. So I do recommend, they did tell me when I had the surgery, I was supposed to do therapy. I didn't, because it does, as a woman, you're taking away, you know, oh, you want to be alive, but you're taking away, you know, something that makes us feel good, sexy and everything. So it's just like,
oh, but you sexy, sexy. I got a whole photo shoot of you being sexy, boo.
Oh my God, you do forgot.
Am I?
That was after I had a C-section. I said, look, okay, hey, I didn't have a C-section. Don't mistake me. My man still love me. So I got to find a way but really truly love me and feel the sexiness I felt before the boobs. The boobs don't make me. The C-section, you know, you have a babe, you gain weight. And then I had just lost, I believe you know, but for the audience who doesn't know, I had just lost 100 and some odd pounds, feeling myself doing, and then breast cancer and 2 bonus kids. And then I got pregnant and then it was a whole, yeah. But I am in therapy right now and it's going better. I'll say that.
I am so proud of you. I remember getting the phone call from you and you said, hey, sis. And I said, hey, baby, what's going on? You said, I got something to tell you. I said, yeah. You said, I'm going to go to therapy. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Because as a community, we don't take care of our mental health.
And yeah, we don't.
I suffer from anxiety. And you and I have been open about that. And you suffer from anxiety. So to learn that you were going to go and get help and to go to therapy, I was like, ooh, good. Go for me too. and tell me the stuff they tell me.
And I do. I share what I've learned in therapy with everyone around me. Because I didn't want to go at first. I was not trying, because that's not what's taught in our community. I didn't want to go. Like, it took me a lot. So I was like, wait, I feel like crap. I'm crying every day. I just want to be in a dark room. Oh. I'm falling into depression. It was really, and there's a couple of times I called you on a number. I fought not to call you because I don't like to bother anyone. Which you know,
you call.
I know, you always say you don't bother, but I just like, I'll get into a dark place and just don't want to bother anyone. But I have, and thank God you have spoken to me. I had an anxiety attack on a road. I remember in a car on an Uber one time, and I called you, and you were like amazing. But that's another story. Y'all all know how
so great. Cute. But you can call me anytime. Are you kidding me?
I know. I just. I feel like I don't like to bother, but I know you do. You do tell me, and I'm getting better. I'm starting a voice note now. I'm getting better at calling.
You are never, ever, ever a bother.
Thank you. I love you. You're amazing. But so yeah, so I wish I went to therapy sooner, but it happened when it happened. So I feel like I don't want to say still recover. Because some days when I take a shower, you look and you're like, oh, because I don't have any nipples or anything. Like, so, but my husband's funny, so he likes to make jokes about it. That's how we get by. But like, sometimes it's like, oh. But, you know, he does love me, and we worked through this marriage. There was a couple of times I felt very insecure, and we talked it out. Because I actually heard during this journey, a lot of men leave their significant others.
Really?
Whether they're married or not. Yeah, my doctor told me that. So they were really impressed that he would go with me to all my appointments, because they said a lot of women, even if they've been together with the husband for a long time or boyfriend or whatever for a long time, they can't handle that. You know, I, through the grace of God, because the cancer didn't spread, I did not have to do like full chemo or nothing like that.
Right.
But at the same time, I did have these drains hanging out, and it was just a lot that was going on that I had to do. Because I didn't do chemo, and I didn't need to necessarily, but it's a lot that you don't realize affects your mental as well. So it's still a work in progress, but I didn't see anybody like me that had breast cancer. Mm. So now when I'm on the internet, I'm like, yeah, I have breast cancer. They're like, what? And I'm like, I know, it's weird. Like, I didn't, so I feel like I need to, like, I talk about it whenever I can, because I'm like, what if someone doesn't, like, feel comfortable, because they're like, no one looks like me.
Right.
And I was 35.
Representation. Like,
huh?
Representation really matters.
Yeah, I wish I had someone to cling on to at that moment. So now I feel like, let me be that person for someone to cling on to.
Now, you did have a foundation, though, that you
worked
with. Did you find them, or did they find you? How did that happen?
I found them. Because it's a world of pink. You mean for the bras and such? Okay.
Yes.
So yes, they are amazing. Christine is amazing. The doctor, my surgeons, who are amazing. My surgeons are funny. Like, it's, what's the coolest part is we still keep in touch on Instagram. I'm like, why am I still cool with my surgeon?
That's awesome.
They just happen to be that awesome. So like, we still keep in touch on Instagram. But anyway, so one of my times to follow up after my surgery, he said, here, this is kind of new, but there's three places, but try this particular place for bras and stuff and all of that. And mind you, this is right before my wedding. This is literally weeks before my wedding. So I'm like, all right, I'll call these things. I called the other two, no answer. I called the World of Pink from the moment, I always say this, from the moment they answered the phone. So even now, if I want to talk or something, they were there for me, the staff, everybody. Like, I got fit in for prosthetics, which is what I have on today.
Yeah, when she got on, I said, oh, them boobs look good.
Sometimes I like the prosthetics. Sometimes I just go bare with me. But today I wanted to give you a little prosthetic action. So, I was going to say, oh, yeah, so the... I told her about my wedding dress. My wedding, my birthday actually was prior to that. My birthday and my wedding's in the same month, but my birthday comes first. So she was like, okay, we got to work fast. So she measured me. We looked at a couple of bras. I showed her my wedding dress And literally, I walked down the aisle and they were like, I thought she had breast cancer surgery. I'm not really lying. It was so funny. They were like, oh, because, and then, you know, my personality is my personality. So I was kind of like happy to see everyone. I'm bubbly, I'm uptight, music popping, that. And they're like, oh, I forgot you had breast cancer. They forgot I had breast cancer.
Because we thought you were going to have like drains still.
I did. Oh, no, yeah. I was rushing to get my drains out. I had drains in for about 3 weeks or so. June 9th to right before my birthday, because I thought they were going to be in for my birthday. My birthday's July 3rd. They came out like a week before my birthday. So from June 9th or whatever to whatever before the first week of July, I had 4 drains in. Oh, my God. that was something. But that was a time.
Amazing. You're like a straight warrior.
Stop.
No. I
just blindfolded and just said, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, I gotta do this.
Straight tunnel vision. So it's been several years. What about becoming a mother?
Oh my God.
What are the concerns of becoming a mother after breast cancer? Are there any?
Yeah. Well, for me, because a lot of people that I know breastfed, and there's nothing there. Like, they scooped it out and put some falsies in, and there's nothing there. There's no nipple, no nothing. So, and the hospital the awesome thing is, the hospital that ultimately took all the cancer away was the same hospital who delivered my child, which is kind of dope. But there's these hospitals now where they're like, they believe in just like all natural, like they don't want to give you formula and all that stuff, which I was like, oh, so like, but they knew that I couldn't do anything else. So that's what it was. So that was my major, I was depressed about that. And then I was like, because like, how am I going to connect if I'm not breastfeeding this child? And then he's laying on my chest. This is only about a year after my surgery.
Right.
No, wait, going on 2 years after my surgery that he's laying on me.
Right.
So I'm just like, what is he going to think of me? Like, it was a lot as a mom to like, the bigger kids, my bonus kids were, they're fairly quiet. They knew, but they were just like, okay, you know, they just went with the flow. But like, I was like, oh my God, if I can't breastfeed, is he going to develop okay? And things like that. But, it worked out. It's fine. It's,
I had big old kids and couldn't get no milk out of them. So.
Exactly. But child, he fine.
Pumping air, okay? If that makes but you feel any better.
I have nothing for you, sir. I'm sorry. Like, but that was my mental with that, and just, oh my God. But to see him come out, and they was to, so the fact that I was told I wasn't going to have a child at all. And to see him now about to be 6 is crazy to me. I still stare at him like, what? Like, you're like my kid.
Can I ask you why they told you you wouldn't have a child at all?
Well, I have fibroids, and because of the medicine they wanted to put me on.
Okay.
But I refused that medicine because I was like, if I don't have to get chemo or nothing like that. And it was like kind of a chemo pill, but I was like, you guys don't see that it's spread to Maxiplant, something with a T. I know a lot of women out there, if you have breast cancer, you kind of know about it, but I was like, you have to wait to get clearance 5 years. And then you have to go, whatever, do testing to figure out, can I have a child this and a third? And that would have been like now I'm over 40. That would have been me trying to get pregnant now, which is like, yikes. But but now he's about to be 6. So it's like, but you know.
I love that. But it's manifesting. You manifested your own destiny. You manifest your own journey. Nobody was able to tell you what you were and were not capable of doing. And I love that. And you knew. So the thing about doctors, right, is I think they all go in with good intentions, but they are practicing physicians because they're simply practicing. Nobody knows their body better than you do. What would you say to other women out there who think that maybe their doctor doesn't know them better than they do.
I feel like if you feel, it's almost like when you see something, say something. If you, yeah, women are awesome because we have a crazy intuition. I tell you, we have something that speaks to us. And sometimes you just can't ignore that. Well, you should never really ignore that. So if you feel uncomfortable, that's what I did. I went to a whole different primary care doctor altogether. I left the people who told me I had cancer because I didn't like the way they handled it. I was uncomfortable. You should go somewhere where the bedside manner feels okay and you feel comfortable with the people around you, the doctors, the staff. I'm a big person on reviews. So, but like, I was just looking around, Googling around for like, okay. And I just had to keep researching to find the best option for myself to where I finally felt comfortable. And that's what happened at the hospital I wound up going to. So much so that that became, actually, that's all of our hospitals now. And that's like my main go-to because I like the staff. I like the way they treat people. Yeah. So that's what it is. You have to advocate for yourself. And if you don't feel right, I don't think it's taught or told enough that you can have a second opinion. It's okay to go get a second opinion from somebody, especially if you do have insurance. Yeah. Go get your, even if you don't have insurance, you can just get it. Find a way. They'll help you out. Get a second opinion. Like, and if, even my second opinion, that was the people that told me to freeze my eggs. And I was like, you didn't look at me as a human to talk to me. How old is she? I was a number, I felt like, you know? I felt like, yeah. How old is she? What's going to happen in 5 years? What's our other options? It's like, you just went to textbook. Nope, chemo pill, this, and this. And when I went to my third opinion, it was like, okay, step one, this, step two, this, step three, this, step four, this, that I like. We went step by step and my was tailored to me, not to every single person who had breast cancer because we all have it kind of differently.
I love that. Okay. So 5 keys that you've learned in therapy to help you heal mentally.
Mentally.
Yeah. Okay,
so 5 things. Don't sweat the small stuff is one of the things. That also somebody, this awesome person, her name is Terry Johnson. Y'all, I don't know if you know her. She's, quick story. I'm always going to tell a story. I'm going to say it live. But Terry told me, I forgot exactly what the advice was. And I was so hyped one day. I met Mike Tyson, another story. Mike Tyson told me literally the same exact thing that Cherry told me. And I called Cherry. She was like, I just told you that 2 weeks ago. But when Mike Tyson said that, it's okay. That's my second opinion. No, I'm just playing. No. Hey.
Confirmation.
But it was Mike Tyson. No, but I'm sorry. But I'm learning in therapy, we... not to overthink things. Learning how to more so cope with trauma. It's not so much getting rid of the trauma in your life. It's how to cope with trauma and how to deal with it, face it, deal with it, work through the trauma, not running from it. Also, like, no one else's opinion of me matters. I know she's gonna say. She didn't say those exact words, but I used to be like, this person's making me mad. This person's making, she's like, how can anyone make you do anything? It's your emotions, it's your feelings. They can say whatever they want to you, about you, whatever. Now, what do you do with that information? You don't have to be angry at that information, especially if you don't know it to be true. So why am I taking all of that in? I'm an empath, but letting it fester and then now I'm angry because they was angry and it's a whole transfer of energy situation. No, stay the course on what you believe to be true. I talk to myself a lot more, getting to know me a little bit better. So yeah, like definitely just staying focused on who I am, who I would like to be. Don't sweat the small stuff. Try not to overthink. And just know that it's not a bad day. It's a bad moment.
Yes.
Because one thing happened in the morning, like, no. And I used to be like that all the time. But now it's like, no. this is bad right this second. Either I can handle it or put it to the side. So I'm prioritizing the mess, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
If this can wait, it can wait. I'm not going to let it stress me out. You're calling me for a bill. I don't have it today. You got to wait till Friday. I can't handle you right now. You're going to have to wait.
Right. You're going to have to wait. I'm the queen of you're going to have to wait. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you're going to have to wait.
You're going to have to wait. So that, yeah, that's, it's like a prior, putting myself first was a hard thing to do. You know, it was a, oh my God, it's still hard at times. Because once you become a mom, it's like, mom. But yeah. I'm learning that even with being a mom, I still have to take care of me and put myself first, because if I'm not okay, they're not going to be okay.
Absolutely. You said something so profound. You said, who am I? So who is Shawn?
Ooh, deep. No, I am learning me. Hello, I'm Shawn Marquez. I like long walks.
I'm single. So you ain't taking her on a walk.
You said, but I realize that I am loving, but it's okay for me not to like everything and everyone. I don't know if that sounds horrible to say, but I always want, because I felt so shunned in my life, I always want to just help everybody. Even if you're doing me dirty, I just want to help. Well, not anymore. Don't get that twisted. That was the old me. But the new me is like, listen, if I can, if my meter, I have a meter, guys. So I have a social meter. If my social meter is full for the day and I'm at a cap, that's it. So I've learned to prioritize my emotions, my feelings. I learned what I do like, what I don't like. And what I don't like, it's okay if I don't like it. It's not the end of the world that I don't like something. Like, it's okay. I don't have to be liked by everyone. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do this by this way because someone said this is how it should be done. No, do your own path. So I'm learning that Shawn is really freaking awesome without all that extra criticism. I learned that I put a lot of pressure on myself from outside noise for a long time, for a very long time. And now I'm like, turning 40, you was one of the people that said it too. Turning 40 is like one of the best things ever, by the way. I know this is like a breast cancer talk, but that is also a thing.
No, yeah. You're allowed to be unapologetically you. Speaking of being unapologetically you, my time with you is winding down, but okay. You keep these conversations going. You talk about love, you talk about marriage, you talk about motherhood, you talk about anything that's happening, like social events. What is the IG page that you go live on that they can follow you? I'm going to make sure that I put it below so that you can listen to some of these conversations.
Okay, yes. My IG page that I go on live conversations with, and sometimes I join in other conversations, is IG at Expressions Universe. Expressions Universe IG. Yeah, the IG symbol first. I feel like I'm getting old now. The IG symbol first and then Expressions Universe. You'll see, yeah, it's there. It's open, it's there. I'm almost sure, if anything, guys, I'm going to send her the exact tag, but yes, it's IG at Expressions Universe, but the E is a 3. It's the whole thing.
The whole thing. I will make sure that I put it below. But let me tell you, I've been chiming in on some of these conversations, and you can be listening sometime. She good, like real good.
Did you hear the sex conversation? There was a really deep sex conversation the other day. Did you hear that one?
No.
About being in polyamorous relationships. That's a thing. There are people who are married and they're fine with like other couples and they're together. It's a whole thing. But I learned about polyamory. That one.
I had a guy in my DMs the other day who wanted me to join him and his two girlfriends.
It's a thing.
It's a total thing. But I told him, baby, y'all's ratchet. Like, I understand that we all manifesting what we want and everything. And it's good.
But I'm enjoying the conversation. So I'm starting to feel, now that my son is older, he's going to first grade. Well, he's in first grade. I'm starting to feel like me getting my little sexy back from before I was a mom, before the breast cancer, before the C-section. I want to feel sexy. So there are things that I joined certain conversations. And they're like, what? And I'm like, Listen, I'm a Cancer, and I had Cancer, but I was born in July. I'm a Cancer woman, and we're a little low key freaks. And I'm not gonna let a little breast cancer stop.
Low key freaks. My daughter's a Cancer.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I mean, and my son's a Scorpio, and I know you, so we're not even gonna do that right now. That's a hawkeye. Let's do that.
You got to come back because we got so many personal stories to tell about
others. We have a lot of personal stories. Yes, yes. I would love to. I appreciate you even bringing, especially breast cancer awareness to light. And I also appreciate you for just you being you in my life in general. You have been there for a long time, up and down, through and through. And I just appreciate you. And I appreciate you showing your platform. You doing
this. I love you.
You know, I love you. You know, I thought you heard me. He came, my son came home, so I'm like, oh, hope she didn't hear him.
No, I didn't hear him at all. I wish he would have ran in the room.
I thought he was gone. I think he knows that mommy's on a meeting. Can he run in the room?
I was waiting to see him. I hear him.
Come real quick. I was like, I think his dad said she's on a meeting.
Oh, so he can.
He wanted to burst in here.
I was gonna say, can the world see him or no?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Okay, I was gonna say, I'll edit him.
He's all right. He's a superstar dancing on stage. Say hi. We're on an interview with Auntie Cherry.
How was school?
Look, she's talking. How was school?
School was good. What you eating?
What are you eating? Pizza. Oh, right. Okay, pizza. So this is Phoenix, right?
Yes.
So this is, you know, Auntie Cherry, but how am I as a mom? Tell the people. he's so encouraging to me. He'd be like, Mom, you're awesome.
Phoenix.
Look,
you cool, mommy.
Okay, that's it. Go eat your pizza.
I love you. Bye, baby.
He said, I gotta eat my pizza. Normally, he's like,
he was.
Bye, baby. Close the door, Phoenix. He is something.
He slid back to shut the door.
Normally, I can't, like, I'm telling you, he's like this. Me and my son are like this. Like, he is just, he's done his first dance on stage. I'm not forcing him to do anything that I am in love with, but he's naturally in love with dancing and being dramatic.
It comes natural. It's in his
clearly. So it's so funny. I have a you and you have a me. I don't know if people know that.
We tease each other. I'm a Scorpio. Her son's a Scorpio. She's a Cancer. My daughter's a Cancer.
Right. And we talk about that all the time. And before our kids, we talk about being a Scorpio or a Cancer. And then we wound up having
a Scorpio and a Cancer. And if you know us,
it's funnier than people probably realize. Because if you know us, then it's like, whoa. But yeah, that's my little guy. He keeps me when I'm sad. Like, he's right now, he worried about his pizza. But typically, he's just like, Mommy, are you okay? And I'm like, and I have to like boss up. But my therapist said to not do that, because you have to show the children that also, listen, it's okay to be sad about something.
Yes.
So I use my therapy tools on my son as well. You know, like, but he's definitely an inspiration to me. He is, oh my God, my son is he's the best.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of your family unit. I'm so proud of the mom of three that you have become. And I'm so proud of you as a wife.
Thank you. And
I'm so proud of you as a sister.
Oh,
thank you for
how do you like it?
Thank you.
And I'm proud of you too. You are rock. I'm learning how to be like this while doing my career and having my child still. Because normally, like I said, he would have busted in here, but I guess his father told him not to. But
it's a roller coaster, right?
I don't know how you do this. You do this and you have your child. You are a super mom for reals. Like, no, I'm like, oh.
For some reason, everybody just sees the easy part and it looks really good.
Yeah, but
it's very spontaneous And I'm surprised she ain't busting here yet because she hung.
Right. I'm proud of you too. I love your platform and keep doing what you're doing. You know you don't, and I can't wait for you to come back to New York.
I'm coming back soon because your niece wants some pizza.
Yes, you see the pizza. Okay, so your nephew, you know, look up and they can eat some pizza. We have the best pizza in town for y'all when y'all come through, you know.
So we got some kid things to do. Look, I need to come back to New York and do it the kid way. Because I never did New York the kid. We did New York.
I know. We normally do that adult thing in New York. We're moms now in New York with kids. That's going to be hilarious, yo.
Yeah.
I might got to do that for content because that's going to be crazy.
Do I have to be in by like 9 or 10 now in New York? Like, I don't even know how to handle life.
You just be you. You do this. You be you. RJ is going to be her. Wait, can I say that? I can say that.
Yeah.
Okay. RJ is going to be her. Oh, wait, no. Okay. My niece is a published author. She probably got
to have years. And the family and friends are so used to like her not being able to be allowed on. Sorry, thank you.
She's the author now. She got her own business. But I just want to double check with mom, you know. I appreciate this platform to get the information out and just you being you. You're so dope.
Love you too. Thank you so much. Yeah. So proud of you.
Thank you. You too.
What up, Cherry? Heard across the world. Welcome to Cherry's world. Heard across the world. Welcome to Cherry's world, representing for every girl. Welcome to Cherry's world, representing for every girl. Welcome to Cherry's world.
I'm Terry Williams, president of One United Bank. We're proud to announce One United Money Moves, our smarter person-to-person payment experience. Send payments in real time without delay, not in an hour or a day, but right away. And it includes proactive security. You're protected with One United Bank. We keep breaking records to empower you. So join me at oneunited.com today.
One.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.